Brother Mike was already mentioned, thankful to be back at the house of the Lord tonight. Thankful for the opportunity to come before you to stand one more time. Thankful that the Lord has provided us all another day to labor, another day to work for the Lord, another day for those that may be lost and undone to seek Him while they may find Him. And thankful that so far they hear the good news about the surgery for Sister Vicki. We'll have to continue to remember to pray for her as she goes through the recovery. And I know we probably wear that out here, but she's a good and faithful member here to come. But we need to keep her in our minds, as it'll take some recovery time to get over the situation that she's in. And as we said, thank you for everybody that made their way here, whether you're a visitor or you're a member. We're glad you could make it tonight. If you brought your Bibles and like to follow along with us, we got a thought that's coming came to us last night as Brother Michael was preaching out of the Revelation, Book of Revelations, the fifth chapter here. Most people know that the Book of Revelations was penned down by John the Revelator. He had been exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and God had given him the strength and the ability to stand and to see some things, and he penned down the things that he's seen. And me, I'll be honest that a lot of times I read Revelations, and sometimes one of the places that can honestly trip me up when I try to sit down and study, it's sometimes hard to try to always sit there and figure out what's going on, because the Book of Revelation, you have some things that are past events, some things that are present, some things that are go forth there in time that will occur on down the line, and it's sometimes hard to make those out here. And the best is I could study and sit down and try to think about it today and try to reason out about it. What we've got to read here seems to me to be something that will come along in the present or in the future. We see here, and it said, "And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the sea, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." Now, with the mistakes made, that's reading the 1st through the 14th verse here of the 5th chapter of the Book of Revelation here. And we find here that John, he is looking here upon the throne of God, here in heaven there, and God has a book inside of his hands there, and that book is sealed with seven seals there, and the best we can understand is that is a book that God is holding, and that only he knows what's in that book there. And we find there that one comes out and says, "Who can open this book? Who can open up this book?"
here, and we find here that they go through and they search and they look and try to find somebody to open it. And while they're hunting to find somebody, John didn't think they was going to find anybody. And we find there that he goes down and says that he fell down there. And John wept bitterly because there was nobody found in heaven to open the books there. And one of the elders there that was with him looked at him and said, John, weep not, for the line of the tribe of Judah has been able to prevail and take the book there, that he had taken the book from God, his father there, and that he was the one that was able to open up said book there. And we're not wanting to think and go into that too much tonight. We're wanting to focus on who this line of the tribe of Judah was. We find there that the line of the tribe of Judah, it was the one that was there, that he was pictured as a lion because he had to go out and have the strength to go out and fight the devil and fight the bad things in the world there. And John is trying to figure out what he is, and he looks there again. He sees there that now this lion is a lamb. And it was a lamb that was slain before the foundations there of the earth there. And we find there that when he opened the books there, that everybody that was there that saw it, they began to sing a song. They began to worship and praise that man there. And if there's a thought there that came to our heart there, it is his 12th verse saying, with a loud voice, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Who is this lamb? Who is this lamb here that John is seeing that he's talking about here? Well, we all know you can flip back here. And we're going to flip back here and we're going to do some reading about who this lamb was. We're going to flip back over here into the account of the Gospels of Luke here. First chapter here. And most of the time, this first and second chapter is very popularly read around Christmas here. But we find here that we want to start here in this 26th verse here, the first chapter of the book of Luke here. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her there. And we find here, with the mistakes made there, reading 26 down to the 38th verse here, we find that an angel of the Lord comes to a lady, a virgin by the name of Mary there. She was a descendant there of the tribe of Judah there. And if you go all the way back there, and you find that when the 12 tribes of Judah were born there, that when her father had died there, that he called them all in there and gave them a blessing there. And he said unto Judah, he said, Thou will be the ruling family, that the rulers will come out of the tribe of Judah there, that the rod will not leave thy hand until Shiloh come. And who is this Shiloh that man was talking about? It was this very one here that the angel was going here and talking to one of these daughters here of the tribe of Judah. And he goes unto her, a virgin by the name of Mary, and says, You're favored in God's eyes. You're going to be a chosen vessel to bring forth the one that was prophesied there in the Old Testament. You will come down and be having with child there. And she said, how's that going to happen? I've never known a man. And the angel tells her and said, the Holy Spirit will encompass about you, and you will conceive. And when he is born there, his name will be called Jesus. And we find there that he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David there. There's the line there of the tribe of Judah there. And we find there that all these things come about there. She has this baby. He's born in a manger because there was no room for him. Nobody wanted him. He had to be married, basically born in a barn because there was nowhere for him to go. There was nowhere for him to go. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords got to start out in a little old feed trough in a barn. Then he had to go along his life there, and he goes with his parents there. And there are those that come along and see him there. And they were blessed by the fact that they saw him. One of the priests there, when they saw him, they glorified God because they saw the Savior there. They saw the Messiah there before they tasted death. They were happy that they saw him there. There were those out there that were happy there as he grew in age there. We find there at one time there as a child, his parents took him up into Jerusalem there. And they were going to Jerusalem up to the temple there, and then they turned around. Mom and Dad had turned around there, his earthly dad, that is, not his heavenly dad there. Joseph was there as his servant dad, the man who raised him there. But he had a father in heaven there that was his father. And we find there now that they were there at the temple, and then they, Joseph and Mary, left, and they left with their company, and they were outside of town there. And they realized that Jesus was gone. Mary realized that he was gone, so they had to turn around and go back to town. They had to find him. And we find there that they go in, and Mary finds him at 12 years old. He's there in the temple asking questions. He's asking questions of the high priest. And she chides him. She gets on to him because they lost him. And he looked at her and he said, woman, I must be about my father's business. She was telling him he had something to do. She knew he had something to do because she'd been shown that he had something to do there. And what did he have to do there? Let's flip over and look into Isaiah here and the 53rd chapter here. And let's see what Isaiah, the prophet, had to say about this lion of the tribe of Judah. And this lamb that would be slain before the foundation of the earth here. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors there. How we find here with the mistakes we made there. Isaiah talking about a sin-bearing servant that was going to come to Israel there. That he was going to be the one to redeem Israel there. And he goes through and he gives descriptions there of the things that this one would have to suffer there. We find there that man named Jesus, he started preaching. Most people say somewhere about his 30 years of age he was preaching. He was out there teaching the people the way to God. He was trying to show them how the law pointed to him.
Yep.
So that they could see him there. And some received him with joy. Brother Mike told you about three of them last night that received him with joy while he was out doing his work there. That they were the ones that stepped out there on faith and believed he was who he said he was there. And he came down here and we find there that it says here in verse 2, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You sit out there and you look at all these pictures and how people try to picture Jesus today. He is a nice looking man, someone that would be nice to look upon. But we find there, if you look and research what he did there, he had to do the same thing that his father did there. Joseph was a carpenter. So he picked up a carpentry trade there in his life. And he probably wasn't the most pleasant looking man. I'm pretty sure his hands were probably not as nice as the priest. They were probably calloused and wore out from working in the wood so much there. He was somebody that they would not want to see him there. But there were those that were glad to see him there. It says he is despised and rejected of men. What did the priests, what did the Levites, God's chosen men at that time, what did they think of this man? They didn't have much for him. They hated him. They rejected him. There's many reasons why they hated him. There's many reasons why they rejected him. One of the reasons why is they lost some power when he came. They lost some power when he came. Other men rejected him there. So much that they wanted him killed. So much that they wanted him killed there. It says that he was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief. He walked out amongst the sinners. He walked out amongst the sick, the blind, the lame, the dumb, all the bad things of the world. He was out there walking around. He was acquainted with the sorrows of this earth there. We find there that you flip over into the scriptures there. Later on down the line there, there was a day and a time that come along and you find that Mary and one of his sisters sent some unto him saying, Jesus, come to our town. Our brother Lazarus is sick. He needs you. Come to town. But we find the Lord tarried 4 more days. And then he went into town. And when he got to town, they came out and they looked at him and said, why did you tarry? You knew Lazarus was sick. Why did you tarry? He's dead now and he stinks, Lord. And then the Lord went in and he stood there and you find 2 of the shortest words in the scriptures there. We find there that he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and it said Jesus wailed. Jesus wailed. He cried because his friend was dead. He cried because he knew where his friend had went and what he was going to have to bring him back from so that the people would believe him. So he cried there. He was acquainted with sorrows. He seen death. He saw pain. I'm pretty sure he felt pain. He had human flesh. We We find there that there were those there. They hid their faces from him. They despised him and did not care for him, did not esteem him. But what did he do? What did this lamb do? It says here, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. But we still live. It said, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We find there that after 3 years of his teaching, they finally had enough. The high priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they've had enough of this man called Jesus. They couldn't stand it that he was out there healing the sick, the blind, bringing them back in fellowship with God and saving their souls. They couldn't stand that. So what did they do? They conspired to kill him. They got one of their own, one of his own, to slip in amongst him and betray him and turn him over to them. And we find here, it says there in the seventh verse, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth there. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generations? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Oh, was he stricken there? Oh, we find there that they bring him up on charges, and they take him before all these people here. The rulers of the Jews first. He takes them up before them, and they make their accusations. And he says nothing. He says nothing. They take him on up to the higher up person there, and they put him on a mock trial there of the Jews. And he says nothing. They convict him. They convicted him based off of the testimony that others brought in, because he said that he was God. They were ready to kill him for that, but they couldn't kill him for that because they were under the power of another bunch of people. They could find him guilty, they could punish him, but they couldn't do anything to him. So they had to go and conspire with the Roman governor to get him killed on the cross. And what did the Roman governor do there? The Roman governor went in and talked to him. He didn't answer much to the Roman governor either. He said, thou sayest. The Roman governor comes out to the people. He says, I find no fault in this man. What's your problem with him? They cried out to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. He goes back in, talks to him again. This time he has his soldiers drag them off back into the judgment hall and get the whips out. And after the soldiers get done utterly humiliating, stripping all of his clothes off of him, putting on the garment there of the royalty, finding the biggest thorns that they could and pressing it down upon his head so much that the blood was flowing down his face there. Then they sat there and struck him, going, who struck you? You're the Son of God, you know everything. Who struck you? They picked at him. They mocked at him. They made fun, and they tied him up to a pole. And then they got those whips out. And they started to whip. And they started to beat there. And you can just imagine that they were taking broken pieces of potsherd there and tying them around in those whips and just standing there and flinging that whip out as it broke that skin there. He pulled that skin off as they pulled back on it. They almost killed him there. And once they realized that they were about to kill him, they said, stop. We can't kill him. We don't have that order. He brings him out there before those people. Like that. And they look at him. He says, I still find no fault in this man. I punish him. I'm going to send him on his way. Unless you all have a custom. Over the Passover, you can choose to have one prisoner go free. Will you let this man go? They cried out the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas!" Those people there would have rather had a murderer and a traitor than they would have had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They said, "Away with this man." He was beat so bad and wore so bad out that he could barely take his cross with him up that hill there. They had to find somebody along the way to help him. They laid him out there on the ground. They took those big spikes. You know, railroad tracks run out through here. When we're talking about nails, think about the spikes that they use out here on these railroad trails. We're not talking about a little nail that may be in these walls here. We're talking about a railroad spike out here. They took that and hammered it through his hand. Hammered it through his other hand. Put his feet together there. Hammered it through his feet. And then they sat there and they pull that cross up. And it falls down in the ground so hard and it charged and it pulled on him. Crucifixion at that time was one of the worst punishments a person could ever have. Because after they utterly humiliated you and put you up there, you had to constantly just stand there and push up with your feet because your body was falling down on your lungs and you were slowly suffocating. We find there that there was two of them there hung beside of him. The one on the left hand, what did he do? The one on the left hand mocked him and scorned him and said, "If you are who you said you are, get us down from here. If you are who you said you are, get us down from here." The one on the right hand, he rebuked the one on the left there. He said, "No, you're not who you talk to." He looked over at him and he said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And what happened, the Lord turned and looked at him and said, "This day shalt thou be in paradise." That one on the right there was dying, and Jesus saved his soul. We find there about 6 hours later after he hung there on the cross, after one of the soldiers said he thirsted, they went and took a reed and they dipped it down in vinegar and stuck it up to his mouth there. And when they did that, it said he cried out with a loud cry. And then he said it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And we find there that at that time there, depending on which account you read there in the Gospels, it says an earthquake took place there. And they ended up being a spot there in that temple there where there was a veil that was blocking the seat of mercy. That veil ripped in two when Christ gave up the ghost there. All man can now come to the mercy seat, not the high priest, one time a year. All mankind can now come to this mercy seat because it was finished there on that cross. By this Lamb here. By this Lamb here. That's why he's going to get to open the books there. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. He died a cruel death so that you wouldn't have to. We're the ones that deserve to be hung on a cross. We're the ones that have transgressed God's laws. We're the ones that have transgressed God's commandments and what He's told us to do in our lives. We have. It's us. He didn't deserve this. He didn't have to leave the portals of glory. But He told His Father that He would go. He told his father that he would go because he loved us. Because he loved us. And he died a cruel death that all man may know him. Our thought there in Revelation 2, or Revelation 5 there, 12th verse. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Yeah. Worthy is the Lamb. Right. Worthy is the Lamb. Right. He is worth a lost sinner's time in seeking Him and being found. Right. He is worthy of our praise and our adoration for those of us that have been redeemed. Right. He's worthy of those things because what He did there on that cross. And He died for you all. Those of us here that are redeemed, we believed him one time. We realized that. Those of you that are here lost and undone without you, he died on that cross for you. Ain't it worth your time and effort to seek him? Ain't it worth your time? Greatest paymaster there ever is be serving him once you get saved.
Amen.
And you unite yourself with his church as he sees fit. Greatest paymaster you'll ever work for.
Right.
You'll be back in fellowship with God. Even though you don't deserve it. You deserve hell just like the devil does. And you know what? Ever since, you can go back and go over and flip and read over there in Revelation 12. It talks about a war in heaven. Satan rebelled against God. God cast him out. Sent him down here to this low ground of sin and sorrow to try to seek who he made while he has time. But you know what? He only has a limited amount of time to seek. He even tried to tempt Jesus when he was down here. He even tried to tempt the one who owned it all to begin with. He doesn't want the lost sinner to look to that cross and be saved. He don't want the lost sinner to look at the man that was on that cross and be saved. Right now, he wants the lost to die and go to hell. Because he is so mad and so angry at God. Because he rebelled. He rebelled because he wanted to be God. He wanted to be God. And you know what's going to happen? While you're down there burning, he's going to keep deceiving. And you know the world's out there, they got this great concept of hell being that when you get there, you're going to see a bunch of people sitting around burning, and he's going to be sitting on his throne ruling hell. He ain't going to be sitting on no throne ruling hell. He'll be right there with you burning, because that's his punishment. That's the devil's punishment. That is that great dragon that is talked about here. That is that old serpent called Satan there. His punishment will be to burn with you. When God gets done with us, that's going to be a day that he's going to look at this song. Because what happened? They put this band named Jesus in a borrowed tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the door. They put a Roman guard outside that door. They wanted to make sure that the disciples didn't come around and steal him, because they knew he said, in 3 days I'll raise this temple up again. And we find there on that third and glorious day there, Mary and a couple others go down to the grave. The stone was rolled away. All that was left was the cloth folded up neatly there. He was gone. There was an angel that met Mary and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Christ got out of that grave. And then he showed himself to his disciples, stayed around, I think, about another 40 days, and then he ascended back to heaven. And several of the things that he told them there before he ascended back is that he goes to prepare them a kingdom, and that as he goes to prepare that kingdom, that he is going to come back for them. Today he is sitting at the Father's right hand, making intercession for his children, intercession there for lost mankind, begging his Father for one more day that they may seek. But there's going to come a day when God the Father is going to look at his Son and say, "Go get my children." Some of us may be living to see it. Some of us may be in the grave. But that day is coming. That day is coming. And just think, as it was in the days of Noah, so is it in the days of the Son of Man. Are we not getting as bad and as wicked in this world as Noah? Are we not? He destroyed the world then. He's going to destroy it again.
Amen.
And it could be any time. Any time. Lost sinner, it is worth your effort. It is worth you seeking him and serving him. The redeemed here, he is worthy of our praise and our adoration. We should love him forever for what he did on that cross and saving our souls when he came in there and rolled that piece in there. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. If you would, Brother Robert, sit your shield against the song. You're here, you're lost and undone. This altar's open. Seek him while he may be found. This is the altar call.